It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 572. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and also the wiki, which is at mtswiki.com. I have huge show for tonight. Got lots to cover. I have stories. I'm going to talk a little bit about my eye surgery. I have lots of stories, lots of tips, a stack of email, and independent music at the end of the show. If you are consulting or in the tech repair business, you need a reliable, solid remote control software. And that's Instant House Call. You can have unattended mode. You can remotely fix computers using the built-in Auto D7. You need to go test it out for yourself. Go to instanthousecall.com, download the free 15-day trial, and use the promo code MikeTechShow. Or just follow the link on the left-hand side of my website at miketechshow.com. If you need a new website for your repair business, go to techsitebuilder.com. You can purchase the hosting, the great templates that just step-by-step guide you through building a great tech website. That is techsitebuilder.com. Also, want you to please continue to fill out the survey for the Unconvention, which is being held in Toronto, July 22nd to the 24th. We need your help and what you want to hear about, what you want discussed. It's over in the TechNibble forums. The link is in my show notes. Click on that. Answer all the questions. We really appreciate that. It's been a rocky schedule the last few weeks, and I thank everybody for hanging with me. And first and foremost, all of your wonderful support, your emails, your responses on Facebook. Thank you so much. I so greatly appreciate it. And the surgery itself was last Tuesday on my right eye. And for those of you who don't know, I had a large cataract that developed in my right eye that was causing me a severe loss in vision. So that had to get scheduled right away. And that was last Tuesday morning. And the surgery went great. I'm a coward when it comes to things like this. The surgery was no problem. I didn't feel a thing. You have to be awake. They drug you up enough that you're kind of loose and pliable and everything's feeling good. And they numb it, so you don't feel anything. All you just see is big, bright lights moving. That was all. They replaced the lens in my eye with an artificial lens with a torque, they call it, so it could correct the astigmatism and distance vision. So now, I'm not prepared for the following, and I have a rough 24 hours, and those of you follow me on Facebook know this. The next day and that night was horrible because they said just pop the lens out of your regular glasses, put them on, and you should be fine. Well, I wasn't fine. My brain could not adjust with the bifocal, the progressive bifocal in my left eye and the new surgery of the right eye. They also didn't prepare me. And now I know that for the next 35 or 40 hours, your pupil is so dilated that there's halos around every light that you look at. So there was a few things I was not prepared for. And certainly being able to see, The only way I was able to figure out to be able to see on Tuesday night was to wear my glasses and a big pirate patch on my right eye, covering the eye that just had the surgery. Then my brain could focus. I have a follow-up doctor's appointment early Wednesday morning, and he knew exactly what was happening. He looked at the eye that had the surgery, and everything was perfect. The cornea was not swollen. Everything looked great. He said, your brain's not functioning right with the difference in what just happened with the surgery, and it created an imbalance that I was suffering. He took a contact lens, popped it in the other eye, and like magic, throwing a switch, the brain was able to focus. Everything brighter, everything beautiful. I could see, I could drive. It was amazing. That quick, it was just amazing. So now I'm operating with the surgery that's corrected in the right eye, and then the left eye, which does have a cataract in it, but not as big, that has a contact lens. I've never had contact lenses before. So what happens last night after a week? I lose it. It falls out somehow and I can't find it. So now my brain's not working right with the glasses. Everything's bad. My wife drives me to the doctor's this morning, and he was able to pop one in and then give me an extra contact lens. So here's what's happening going forward. I'm getting surgery in the left eye to correct that. That's going to happen on Tuesday, March 15th. So that week there will be no show. So here's the schedule coming up. And I'm actually looking forward to the surgery there, because now I won't need glasses except for reading. Just a quick funny story. I got to deviate here. I could never understand why my wife had like 10 pair of reading glasses all over the house. I now get it, because with only the distance, only my distance vision corrected, I cannot read anything up close. And with glasses, I could always take my glasses off, and there was always a place that I could bring the text close enough to my eyes that I can read it. But not now, not when it's not corrected for reading. I have to have inexpensive reading glasses to be able to read. So when you see me now on Ustream, I won't have glasses while I'm just looking at the screen, but I need glasses when I'm reading emails, and I'll pop them on in a couple minutes. So I'm looking forward to the surgery. Can't wait to get that done. Next week, Thursday night, I am going to New York to see the Struts, but not just see the Struts. I'm going to be at the meet and greet before the show with the Struts, and this is the album release party, where their brand new album is scheduled to be released the next day, or the CD, I still call them albums. So the CD release party is that night in New York. I'm going to be with the Struts. Follow me on Facebook. You'll definitely be seeing pictures with me and the group. Can't wait. That's going to be fun. That's Thursday night. So the next show is going to be Saturday, the 5th of March. I will do a show at 3 p.m. on Saturday. Following week, the 10th, regular Thursday night show. Back in business, no problem. And then the week after that is the surgery. The week after that, I'll be back on for the Thursday schedule. So just bear with me till my eyes get corrected and everything should be fine. So enough of that and the schedule. Let's get to some of the stories of what I've been working on and some of the lessons learned. This past Saturday, my son and I completed an office upgrade of Windows 10 for about half a dozen computers, where we took one computer a few weeks ago and we tested the computer with Windows 10, and everything was fine. We found a couple things, like we had to update QuickBooks and some other things that we took care of. So now we go full blast Saturday, and it went great, except for a couple little issues. We decided to just take advantage of, you know, the icon that appears for Windows 10, to actually just go through that and start the upgrade. For three of the computers, it was no problem. But for a couple others, it would hang on doing the update and downloading it, and it would just sit there and hang. I stopped it, went to Microsoft's site, downloaded the media creation tool, downloaded it locally, launched that, didn't create media, just said upgrade this PC. Went through that, perfect. So if you see that the download is taking too long, stop it. Go download the media creation tool and start the process that way. That worked great for a couple systems for me. The first thing you do when Windows 10 is done installing, check for updates. There's always updates. Before you start troubleshooting issues, going through problems, those last few updates may fix those problems. So do the updates first. It's worth the investment in the time. So one system couldn't run QuickBooks. Now, we had already upgraded it to the latest version. It's running QuickBooks 2016. What's wrong? Well, we get an error message saying that Internet Explorer is not enabled on this computer. So follow the support from Microsoft to turn it on. And I'm like, really? I was like, I don't understand. I go to the directory where Internet Explorer is located, and you know the ieexplorer.exe is not even there. There's other files, but the executable is not there. I don't know how, and I don't know if it's just Windows 10. I don't think Windows 10 deleted Internet Explorer. This might have been the user might have disabled Internet Explorer prior to this, but for some reason, with Windows 10, the latest version of QuickBooks, they want Internet Explorer on the computer, even if it's not your default browser. It insists upon it. So how do you activate IE11? You can't download it and install it for Windows 10. Here's the trick. Discovered this on Saturday. Go to Control Panel, Programs and Features. On the left-hand side, there's an option, Turn Features On or Off. Click that. You're going to get a menu. There's IE11, and the box was not checked. I checked that, clicked Apply. It went through a reboot, went through that it was doing some kind of an update, logged back into the system. When it was done, QuickBooks worked. So great tip here to enable IE if it's not enabled. That's the only way you can get that on the system. You can't download it. You can't get it any other way. Trust me, I tried. Great tip. Here's another problem, and it didn't happen on all computers. Every Windows 10 install is like a brand new experience for us, and we learn something new, and that's why I want to share it. Here's one. Control V and Control P at the command line doesn't work, or even when you're within software. Now, some people use that. Some people don't. I always highlight right-click, copy, right-click, paste, but there's lots of times where right-click, paste is not available, and you got to hit Control-V, you know, or Control-P to paste. Control-V to copy, Control-P to paste. There's a few solutions here to solve that problem. One fix is easy. You need to uninstall your keyboard driver and restart your computer. And then your control keys will function once again. So if you run into this, click Start, Control Panel, Printers and Other Hardware, Keyboard, and in the Keyboard Properties window, click Hardware, click Properties, click Driver, and then click Uninstall. Click OK, reboot, and it fixes it. You can also go to the manufacturer's website, download the latest Windows 10 drivers for your keyboard and mouse. Probably a smart idea to do that and have it ready before you even begin the upgrade. And that should be part of your vetting process, which is all hardware that you've identified for the system, especially the video driver, the LAN driver, critical components. Those two, definitely. Make sure you download the latest drivers just in case Microsoft doesn't do this correctly. Then there's another link that I'm going to have in the show notes that specifically has a fix for Control V stopped working at the command prompt in Windows 10. So I have a very specific fix that you can also try. And that link I'll have in the show notes. Another problem. Now, Outlook 2013 was the default email client. Windows 10, even though we told it not to overwrite the defaults, still did. Outlook was not the default email client. How do you fix your default? And you should always look at this after Windows 10 is done its installation. You go to Settings, the Settings app from the taskbar, click System, and then choose Default Apps. Go in and check every default app, the email, the browser. What do you want for music? What do you want to view pictures? The other way is always, if let's say the wrong picture viewer is coming up, great way, and this even you can fix in Windows 7 or any version of Windows, right click and say open with and change the default for opening that application. I see this happening when someone can't open PDFs anymore, or you know, everything goes crazy. You gotta right click and then choose the app that you want to open and then check the box, hey, make this the default. That is also a great tip. So what if everything goes wrong? You don't like it. You don't have the right drivers. You got problems. From the Settings app, go to Update and Security and then Recovery. And under that recovery option, there's Reset This PC. You can restore Windows 10 back to its original settings while keeping and not erasing your files. You definitely want to take a look at this to go back to Windows 7. I've had this work on a lot of systems, but you also heard my story a few weeks ago where it did not work on a laptop for a user. So I've had more success than failures on this, but you can go back and you have 30 days to be able to go back to your older operating system because there's an old Windows folder that's maintained there. I've had good success, but just beware that's not always perfect, and that's why it's always safe to have a good system image before you start going down the path of a Windows 10 upgrade. That's from Saturday. Here's a problem that I have another link that I'm going to have in the show notes. And this one I totally forgot about. I don't know why I didn't remember this, but it started with Office 2013. When you set up Outlook for an Exchange client, right at the beginning when you're setting up, there's a little like adjustable bar for how you want to have your email, and it defaults to the previous 12 months. So anything older than 12 months, it's not there. Now you can move the bar to all and you'll get all of them. So now, CEO of one of my clients has Outlook 2016 on his Surface Pro 3. He copied SureWeb's, the email provider. He moves from a local PST emails that are older, and he moves them up into folders that get uploaded to SureWeb in the cloud. He does this, then goes home, opens Outlook. The emails are not there. He's not panicked, but he calls me. He says, Mike, man, I hate to bother you, but all these old emails that I moved are missing. And then it dawned on me about that setting. To properly do that setting, you got to go to Close Outlook, go to Control Panel, Mail, then go to Show Profiles, pick the right profile, go to the Properties, and then pick Change. When you see the email account that you're talking about that's Exchange hosted, click Change, and right there on that first screen is that adjustable bar for how long you want to be able to see your email, and then just drag it over, and then depending on just how much email, where this is a lot of email this user had, I said, be patient. It's going to take a long time, but it will all come down. And that solved the mystery of the missing emails. It's a great link that I'm going to have in the show notes. Let's get to this stack of email and some more tips. This is from Alec. Just wondering what email client you recommend for your clients. We have email provided through our domain, which is hosted through HostGator. HostGator does not provide a good selection to use, so I figured to ask you. We don't have Outlook on our company systems because last time I checked, I'd have to buy the Office suite for all the systems or at least buy Outlook download version. Absolutely. Please, please help. Thank you. Alec, the answer is if they don't have the budget for that, I always use Thunderbird. Thunderbird is a great free email client. As a matter of fact, years ago, anybody who's been a long time listener, I actually spent a year where I tried to just dedicate living off of Thunderbird and gave up Outlook, sort of gave it up for Lent, but a little longer than that. But I lived in Thunderbird for a year a long time ago, and it is a solid email client, and it's free. This is from Kevin. As an individual that has been trying to launch a small not-for-profit in my spare time, I was looking for an IT podcast to reduce my day job commute boredom, and I have found that of the many tech shows that I have listened to, I like yours a ton. So much so that I started going back to the beginning of your show and started listening from number one. Well, two easy items I wanted to shout out to you about. As I have helped many people I know with their computers, I have used CCleaner, as I do, and I do like it. But I have also heard that there is plenty of individuals that advise against CCleaner. What is your take on this? I actually have a client, a bunch of clients that are financial advisors, that their parent company, for some reason, they don't like CCleaner to be used, and that is taboo whenever we touch one of their computers. I cannot do it, and that's because I believe there's critical cache. All you have to do is be smart. Whatever CCleaner is deleting, uncheck it and keep it. I never delete cookies within CCleaner because that could be people you saving their passwords for different websites, and we don't want to upset the apple cart too much. So there's a certain procedure that I use depending on the user. Great example here. CCleaner, if you check it, if you have Thunderbird, you should occasionally compact the database. But by default, that option is not checked. So before you start using CCleaner, take a look at all the options. Now, 9 times out of 10, for your typical client, using CCleaner is going to be fine. Now, by the way, I use only CCleaner Portable anymore, so this way it doesn't install it on my client's system. I don't want them to play around. Some people, they don't feel comfortable fixing the registry. I have never had CCleaner damage anything on a client. I'm probably going to get 10 emails of all the horror stories. And if you have the horror stories using CCleaner, hit me up with them. I want them and I want to share them. But right now, go forth, use CCleaner. Just be careful. Look at all the options and make a logical choice on what you're picking and what you're cleaning. I like CCleaner. It's a great tool. The other thing you wanted to let me know is that there was a dead link on my software page for DVD shrink. I'm sure there's a lot of dead links. And if you go back, something I don't do. Now, the software page, I probably need to clean up, because I've ignored that for a long, long time. I will find time to go clean that up. I'm sure there are lots of dead links in lots of old shows. Remember, this is show 572. I've been doing this for over 10 years. We're going to come across dead links throughout. So I cannot maintain all of the links for every show going all the way back. But the software link, I'll clean that up. This is from Greg. Oh, this is an interesting topic here. I was a bit concerned hearing that you were going to try a program called Driver Update by Slimware Utilities. You should know that this program is malware and should not be installed on your computer. It is detected and removed as a PUP, which is a possible unwanted program, by JRT and Adware Cleaner. Malwarebytes removes it and several other helper programs that get installed when it is as malware. Just thought you should know. Cheers. Greg, I took that recommendation from Maximum PC. And If they didn't vet that and put it out there, wow, I'm surprised, because I usually like and agree with recommendations coming from Maximum PC. So if this is malware, then beware and don't download that. Now, interesting, the next question here from Terry from Arizona, and he says, helped a friend with his Windows computer yesterday. His video driver keeps crashing. Went to the Dell site for his computer. Dell has no drivers for Windows 10. Now, I don't know why Microsoft rolled out Windows 10 if there were no drivers. What is the chipset for the manufacturer of the video card? Is it the default Intel one? You're going to need to go to Intel's website. I would always look for the chipset. Is it NVIDIA, AMD, Intel? Go to that website and then download, and you're going to get a Windows 10 driver. I will see if I can get drivers from the manufacturer's website. Otherwise, Slim Drivers is the only driver download program I have had luck with. Now, see, isn't that interesting? Do you have any other recommendations for a program to download drivers? I used to use Driver Max. I'm going to link that. I don't think that's went bad or went rogue with problems, but Driver Max, check that out. I know that's reliable, and I use that. I think it's not fully free. You may have to pay for that, but I do know it did work well for me in the past. But nothing beats going directly to the manufacturer's website. Dante, hi, Mike. I was listening to your last show, 570, February 6th, and you mentioned that you now have a service to take your phone calls to help with remote support. I'm in the same dilemma and get too busy at times. I could use a service like this. What company are you using for this service? Do you use them all the time or certain times of the day? Do you feel that this has improved your business? And if so, how? It has absolutely, significantly improved my business. The company is Remote Support Tech Team, and that's rstechteam.com. The owner is Chris Carruthers. Chris is an awesome guy. Call them, talk to Chris, and he can outline all of the different plans that they have. I have coverage from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m., 7 days a week. I do not look back. It was a great partnership that began the beginning of September, and I love it. This is from Mark. About a year ago, I contacted Dell to get recovery disks for a client whose hard drive crashed. I gave them my contact information for the order, including a Google Voice phone number that I only give to telemarketers. Dell wouldn't need to call me about my order. A few months later, my client received a call from a scammer telling them about security problems with their PC, referenced their service tag, my contact info, and requesting remote access. My client hung up and called me. I looked at my call logs, and the scammer had tried to call me too. In my mind, there's no doubt these are inside jobs or contractors using customer data that Dell provides access to scam their customers. You might want to give your clients a heads up. Mark, that is excellent email, and I'm going to share the security link that he sent about Dell to customers report service tag scams. You should be aware of this, and the link is in will be in the show notes. Mark, thank you for sharing that. This is from Jonathan. First of all, thank you for all you do in your show. Please keep up the enthusiasm that you put into making the show for us, and it is greatly appreciated. I recently cloned a hard drive with a software called To-Do Backup Workstation from East U.S. The PC had QuickBooks installed, and after putting the new SSD in QuickBooks, was the only error that I received, and the error is error 3371. I replied back to Jonathan with the link, and I talked about this in a couple episodes, when you clone a drive, there is a special file that you have to delete to get QuickBooks to work. And it's like magic. It's instant. And QuickBooks launches and works once you delete this, I think it's ELM file or something. I will include the link in the show notes to exactly what file you have to delete. And this is one of those fixes that you want to save, because anytime you clone a system and there's QuickBooks on it, you have to delete that file. Isn't it amazing what hoops we jump through every time we want to upgrade a system or clone a system, and it's always QuickBooks that has the annoying problems? This is from Nancy. Password managers. I'm a few weeks behind on podcasts, but as I was listening to your show on passwords, I had just finished up a blog post on password managers. It's www.grownuptech.com, and the blog is not written for techies. It's written for the people that your audience would support, not techies. I also recommend not using real information for the security questions. And if you're using a password manager, you can store your fakes in a note field in the manager. Give it a try with one of your customers, someone who will not give up the first time they have to think about a new task. This is the way to go for people who need to remember more than one password. Nancy, thank you. Dell servers. Hi, Mike. I'm recently starting to help a new customer that was used and abused by their previous IT support. This is a small company under 10 users with one Dell PowerEdge server running 2008 R2. Their backups are all poorly configured, and I'm working on getting this ironed out. For instance, they are using Windows Backup to back up the C and E partition, two different drives, to the D partition, which shares the same 2 terabyte drive as the C drive. Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. The D and E also host numerous shares and app-specific data. Also, they have 3 drives, 2 terabytes and 140 gig, and they are not set up in RAID, all independent. They also have a SonicWall CDP210 appliance. This is my first experience with this appliance. I found it as a NAS of sorts and uses a SonicWall Acronis package for constant backup. I found that this hasn't run in more than a year. The customer has no idea about the device or any support. So I'll be contacting SonicWall support to try to get this back up and running accordingly. If you have any tips about the device, I'd love to hear it. I don't have tips, but you're doing the right thing, which is calling the manufacturer. Finally, I believe you mentioned a Dell server management software application in the past. I'd like to get that running on the system to monitor its power supply units, etc. Oh, it'll do more than that. Can this software be set up to email out alerts in the event of a failure? Absolutely. Can you send a link to this software, and does the software have to be under warranty to use it? No, it doesn't. I don't believe so. And I checked and the warranty ran out last July. You know, you can contact Dell with a server, and depending on how old it is, you can get a quote to get that back on support. Now you're going to pay a little bit of a premium, but it may be worth it to get that all under support. Dell will not send replacement parts if you're out of warranty, but on all PowerEdge servers, they will help you on the phone forever. So keep that in mind. Even if you're out of warranty on a Dell server, you can call Dell support and they will help you. But it's always better to be under support so you can get spare parts and get fixes. The software you want, and I will have a link in the show notes, it's called Dell Open Management System Management Tools. Just remember, Dell Open Management. That's what you want installed on all of your Dell servers. This is from Kevin. Recently, I ran into a problem where I tried to add a new internal hard drive. I have been replacing internal components and building computers of my own without a problem for years, But with this computer, I purchased a custom build online from a very reputable place, cheaper than buying everything myself. When I went to install the hard drive, it started booting just fine. And then, boom, the computer died. I tested the power supply, and it appears that that was what failed. I am not sure if it was overloaded, but I was wondering if there is a tool to check an internal power supply consumption, whether a portable app or a tool, to see how much power is actually being utilized from the internal components. Kevin, that's a great question. I don't have an answer for Kevin, but I do have an answer to test if a power supply is good or bad. It's a little device. It'll tell you right away whether the power supply is good or bad. I use it. I bought it from Amazon. It's pretty inexpensive. I will make sure that that's in the show notes. But this is good for asking for recommendations on what is the true consumption of the power supply. Is there anything that can tell us that? That would be great. I'd love to hear from you. And then I will share it with everyone, of course. This is from John. Hi, Mike. Just got done listening to show 571. You were working in a dental office and you thought you needed a smaller computer. Oh, we absolutely need smaller computers. Then the Dell small footprint form factor. Was not sure if you are aware of these. And he sent me a link for the OptiPlex 320M desktop. It's a micro desktop. I do a lot of dental offices and these work great. Thanks for the great show, John. Thank you. But I checked that out. When you sent me that link, that system is still too big for the one that I need. I need a system that will fit in the palm of your hand. They have given us no space. As a matter of fact, the space is so bad, my son had to go back down to the office and take the computer, and they made room on the top counter of this hutch that all of the gear and all of their equipment comes out of, and had to relocate it to the top. So they're giving up some desk space on the counter in each of the exam rooms, but it's the only way because it can't fit underneath. Now they can regain that real estate on the next exam rooms that they're going to light up. But again, I know someone that can build these for me that are custom build, and they got to be very, very small, but they have to have dual video. And I do notice that these micros have dual videos. Unfortunately, it's unbelievable. When you look at the size of this micro and you say, wow, that's still too big, it gives you an idea of the space limitation we're working with. This is from John, and he says, I think this is all you need to disable the Windows 10 upgrade. It is a Windows patch that installs a revised ADMX local Windows group policy with an extra setting to disable OS upgrades and any GWX prompts. I'm going to link this article, but again, I've done this and it still doesn't work on a couple client machines. You can try it, but mileage will vary. This is from Josh. Windows 10 shutdown question. Hey, Mike, longtime listener, love the show. I recently upgraded to Windows 10 in your last show. A listener talked about boot times. There is a fast boot option in the power options menu. The reason I know this is because since upgrading, I have been having a shutdown problem. When I turn the PC off, it goes through the normal process. The monitor turns off and the PC keeps running. I have to manually hold the power button down for 10 seconds to get it completely off. Now, when I turn it back on, it fires up, the monitor turns on for a second and then turns back off. But the PC keeps running. I have to manually hold the power button down once again to turn it off. Now, the second try, it will turn on perfectly. I don't trust the video driver that you have. Is there something wrong with the video card? Is there something wrong with the monitor? I want you to take that monitor to another system and try it. See if you're having issues. Then I want you to test out that video card. I want you to make sure that you have the latest, greatest firmware and driver for the video card. I have researched this to death, but no luck. Was hoping maybe you have seen this or something comes to mind, or maybe a listener could help. Thanks for the show and have learned a lot. Been using your Amazon link for ages. By the way, I haven't looked into it, but how can you set up an Amazon link for the iOS Amazon app on your phone? Thanks, Josh. You know, you've given me something to look into. Is there a way? How do we communicate me receiving credit for your Amazon purchases from your portable device? I will look into that, because remember, you can support the Mike Tech Show if you purchase from Amazon or know anyone purchasing from Amazon by using my link, amazon.mikenation.net. Your price always remains the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. On the problem you're having, Josh, I have ran into that where anytime you have a shutdown problem with a system, it's usually driver related. So you want to start going through and getting rid of all your drivers. Now, updating all your drivers. But your driver problem here seems to be focused on the monitor. So that would be the first thing I would want you to check out. Let me know how you make out if doing the video driver. Also, look into the computer's firmware for the a BIOS update. That sometimes fixes shutdown problems. I don't know if you've tried all these things, but new video driver, BIOS update, double check the monitor to make sure there's no other issues, double check the video card, try a different monitor there. Are you still having the same problems? So you got to do some, you know, some legwork here in swapping things out to trial and error to see what's going on. That's it for tonight's show. Not too much longer. Got a few extra minutes. I have some independent music. This artist is the daughter of one of my clients that owns a business that is one of my biggest clients, and she goes by the name Ingersoll. I'm going to have a link to her website. This song is "This Too Shall Pass." Give a listen.
So I don't drown. I'm tired of swimming circles through the sand of time, basing truth on concrete lies, painting colors that your mind can't comprehend.
Into
eventually I'll live. When the earth stops crumbling and the seas rolling.
Ingersoll, that is her from her debut album. It is track number one, This Too Shall Pass. And I'll have a link to her website where you could actually purchase that CD and check out her videos and music. And that's at www.ingersoll, ingersollmusic.com. Check that out. She has a great CD. That's it for tonight's show. Remember, the next live show will be Saturday, March 5th at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Don't forget to check out Instant House Call at instanthousecall.com. Download the free trial for 15 days and use the promo code MikeTechShow. Also, Fab's Auto Backup for Tech 6 Pro and the Computer Repair Business Kit version 3 from TechNibble from Bryce. Tremendous kit. Those links will all be in the show notes. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.